If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to get there in just a couple minutes. And if you're new to Two Rivers, I just want to mention again, and if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. We've got some Bibles here if you want to follow along in John chapter 10. But if you're new to Two Rivers, I just want you to mention you can scan the QR code on the chair in front of you and find out more information about us. So you can also stop by our welcome table. We would love for you, if you're new, to try 5 Sundays with us. We would love to follow then your progress if you let us know you're in that. And you can stop at the welcome table. They'll tell you all about this. But we'll follow your progress and kind of encourage you and introduce you to different parts of our church through that. And it's a way for you to get to know us a little bit. Also, last week, I said that we're going to start something called Summer Wednesdays, which you can also find on the events page of that QR code. I said we're going to start in May. That was not true. Correction. June. We're going to start that in June. We're looking forward to serving together, eating a meal together for 4 weeks in June. We're going to do something a little different this year. We're going to serve at one of our local schools instead of just having a Bible study here. That's good. We're also going to do that if anybody still wants that. But we're going to go up to HJ and serve our community and do some things that they need done for those 4 weeks. I'm excited about that. I'm actually looking for a few team leaders who would lead teams in service. So if that's something that's in your wheelhouse, just shoot me an email or just let me know on Sundays. We'll get back with you on that. This week, Micah, who you met up here earlier, and I went to lunch. And while we were out to lunch, I wanted to run my car through the car wash. So I'm like, Micah, would it be okay? You know, like, do you have time? Do you have any shoe shopping you need to do to get back to? Is there anything you need to do? He's like, no, I'm good. We can do it. It's fine. But I hadn't washed my truck in months. Anybody else in this same boat? You know, like I have not washed my car in a long time. Today is probably the best car wash with the rain. But winter is kind of dirty, and I don't feel like getting out and, you know, messing with my car in the winter. And then we had all that pollen a month ago, and I'm pretty sure that I had a layer of pollen on my dashboard, you know, inside my truck. And so Micah said he didn't mind, so we did that. We ran the car through the car wash. Has anybody been in a car wash lately? It's like a disco these days. I hadn't noticed that until this time. It's like all kinds of soap, and then they start throwing lights on you, and it's kind of cool. Mike and I were digging it. And I got the outside of the car, and it looked pretty good, but what really needed it was the inside. Again, like just dust everywhere. My floor mats were very dirty, and so Michael was nice enough to run the vacuum on the passenger side, and we worked pretty hard kind of with those vacuum cleaners to get that all cleaned out, and it got it looking pretty good. You know, to the sort of first glance, it was really good. We're done, but I started moving my seat up a little bit. You ever done this? And I was like, I got to get to it. And my seat is a really slow, one of those power seats, but it's really slow. It's like, it's taking forever. And it's going really, really slow. Mike is looking at me like, what are we even doing, guy? You know, like, and I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I have to, I know that I have some French fries in here somewhere. Like, I know this for a fact. Some of those waffle fries from that Christian chicken place, I'm pretty sure I have some of those. So you have to dig a little bit. So I moved my seat all the way up, and sure enough, there was one of those fries down in my seat, right? And sometimes, not only in cleaning, whether it's your car or your house or here at church, sometimes you got to dig a little deeper, right, to get to what is really wrong. And that's been the point of this series that we've been in the last few weeks, Fact or Fake. Our intention for the last month has been to dig a little deeper into why we believe the things that we believe. Maybe you've uncovered a few questions that you didn't even know you had. Or maybe you are new to church or new to faith or new to this idea of Jesus and you like the music and the people, but when you dig in a little deeper, there's some questions sort of gnawing at you. See, I don't believe God is afraid of our questions. He's not insecure. It wouldn't be much of a God if he was put off by our questions. He's not insecure. You're not going to get him rattled. So let me encourage you in this way. Keep digging. Keep uncovering those spots that where you may have some questions. Keep asking questions. And I think we'll probably come back to this topic. I've got a lot of really good feedback from some of our small groups and some of the discussions that we've been having over the last month. But today's the last day of this series, Fact or Fake. We've talked about the resurrection. Micah led us in a great study. We could have been here for more hours studying through creation and what that looks like in light of today's science and evolution and all those things. And last week we talked about the Bible, but today I want to talk about fact or fake, Jesus. Let's start with the question of the historical person, Jesus of Nazareth. Did Jesus exist? Did this person exist? Frank Zindler, he is a renowned atheist, wrote a book asserting that Jesus didn't really exist. It's all a myth. And he says, as always is the case, the burden of proof weighs upon those who assert that something or some process exists. Sort of convenient that Mr. Zindler says the burden of proof is on the ones who believe something, coming from somebody who self-declared believes in nothing, right? He doesn't have to prove anything, does he? Also, is it just me or does he look really unhappy being an atheist? Yeah, I could not find a picture of him smiling. I tried. So let's take Mr. Zindler up on his challenge. We believe Jesus existed. So what's the proof? Let's start with the Bible. Last week, we made the case that the Bible is historically reliable and accurate. So let's start there. Even if you can't believe that the Bible is the very words of God, you should be willing to agree that it is historically accurate. Archaeology, as we said last week, has shown us many, many times over that what the Bible claims has come true and is true in the world that we see through archaeology. The New Testament contains hundreds of references to Jesus. The letters of the Apostle Paul from about AD 50 or 60 are the earliest texts mentioning Jesus and the doctrines of Christianity. They also contain practical instructions for the growing number of Christians on how to live and how to live out their faith. So those earliest Christian writings from the epistles of Paul date no later than 25 years after Jesus' death. The gospel or biographical accounts of Jesus, right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the New Testament, they date from around 40 years after Jesus' death. So pretty recent from when Jesus was actually on the earth. A lot of that testimony, right, from the Bible wasn't too far removed from when it was written down. But it's not just the Bible that mentions Jesus historically. Early Jewish historians also write about Jesus. The first non-Christian writer to talk about Jesus was the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus. Anybody need a name for a baby boy coming up? There's a good one. Flavius Josephus, who lived around AD 47 to 100. He referred to Christ in his History of Judaism, Jewish Antiquities, from AD 93. Roman historians Pliny and Tacitus also wrote about Jesus about 20 years after Josephus' book. The Annals by Tacitus from AD 115 mentioned the Roman prefect Pontius Pilate executing Jesus, alluding to crucifixion and placed that event within the time frame that agrees with the Christian Gospels. Along with some other references, we can almost reconstruct the gospel just from early non-Christian sources. Jesus was called the Christ by Josephus, did magic, led Israel into new teachings, and was hanged on Passover for them, according to Babylonian Talmud. In Judea, Tacitus, but claimed to be God and would return by a guy named Eliezer, which his followers believe worshiping him as a god, according to Pliny and the Younger. So from a historical perspective, both the biblical and the non-biblical historians agree that there was a man named Jesus from Nazareth. But let's also consider the eyewitness testimony. Paul's earliest letters dated around AD 50 to 60, which is about 25 years after Jesus' death. The Gospels from around 40 years after Jesus' death. These time spans mean that the accounts of Jesus' life were written down by people who would have been alive to know him or have known the people who knew Jesus. Byron McCain, an archaeologist and history professor at Florida Atlantic, says the accounts of the witnesses also correspond quite well to what other sources of information tell us about the life in Palestine in the first century. For example, having large crowds coming to a healer like Jesus is confirmed through archaeology, which tells us that the residents of the area had to contend with diseases like leprosy and tuberculosis. Mr. McCain goes on to say that he can think of no other example who fits into their time and place so well, but people say doesn't exist. In other words, it would be rather unprecedented for such a person to be made up. The Bible authors, right, point to Jesus. The Jewish historians and eyewitnesses confirm the historical existence of a man named Jesus of Nazareth. So if Jesus was an actual living person that walked on this earth, then the question is, was Jesus the Son of God? In other words, was he what the Bible claims that he is? And so the first place I think we should look is, what did Jesus claim to be? It's true that Jesus never said the exact words, I am God, or I am Jehovah God. He did, though, make the claim to be God in many different ways. And those who heard him knew exactly what he was saying. For example, let's look at John chapter 10. Verse 30, Jesus says, John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And the Jews who heard him make this statement knew well that he was claiming to be God as witness. Look at their reaction, verse 31. Again, the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? So he asked them, why are you trying to stone me? And then in verse 33, it says, we're not stoning you for any good works, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. So Jesus claimed to be God. Stoning would have been appropriate for someone to put themselves on the same level as God in that culture, right? As a Jewish person, for someone to say, I am God, that would be considered blasphemy, and the Jews plainly accused Jesus of claiming to be God. Jesus made another statement to be God in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 58 and 59. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said, hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. I love these verses where people are accusing Jesus, they're about to kill him, and he just walks through them or walks away or disappears. Like, not only am I God, I'll prove it to you right now, right? The Jews, again, hearing him, clearly understood he was claiming pre-existence. And on this occasion, too, they tried to stone him for blasphemy. So if Jesus was, in fact, a real historical person, and if he did claim to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the question for this week is Jesus fact or fake? Is he God? Have you ever had a dilemma? Anybody here ever had it? You know what I mean by a dilemma? Let me give you an example. I've always been kind of a brand name cereal guy, kind of a Kellogg's or a Post. You're like, I like the real deal. Matter of fact, for my whole life, I've said, I don't want the generic cereal. Like, I draw a line in the sand. I know it's kind of weird. I don't want the generic stuff. If it makes me bougie, I'm bougie, right? I don't really care. I've even kind of put myself out there with my wife, Bonnie. Like, if she brings home some great value Frosted Flakes, I'm like, Bonnie, what are you doing? I need Tony the Tiger. I need a real deal. I don't need these generic great value stuff, right? So here's the dilemma I was faced with not long ago. I went to the store, and the price of the Tony the Tiger real deal Frosted Flakes is like $7 a box. It's insane. Are you guys, I am your shopping, am I the one who's letting you know about all these shopping, like grapes last week, this week, Tony the Tiger, Frosted Flakes, like $7 a box. So that's a dilemma for me. Like, I really like the name brand, I like the good stuff, but I'm also kind of cheap, you know? So guess what? We're eating generic Frosted Flakes now. I just don't look at the box. I miss my friend Tony. So that's kind of a dilemma. A philosophical trilemma, right, is a situation in which a difficult choice has to be made between three alternatives. The question is Jesus who he claimed to be, or is he someone else? A Scottish Christian preacher, Rabbi John Duncan, formulated this trilemma. Christ either, number one, deceived mankind by his conscious fraud, or secondly, he was himself deluded and self-deceived, or thirdly, he was divine. There's no getting out of this trilemma. It's inexorable. Later, C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, wrote, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, say about Jesus. People would say, C.S. Lewis says, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. He goes on to say, that's the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. He says, you can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing sense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Let's take a look at what C.S. Lewis is saying. Option one, if Jesus claimed to be God and he knew he was not God, then he's a liar. If Jesus knew he was not God, then he was just simply lying. But if he was a liar, then he was also a hypocrite because he told others to be honest, whatever the cost, didn't he? Josh McDowell, in his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, writes, J. Warner Wallace, a cold case homicide detective who's been featured on Dateline, Fox News, and Court TV in his book, Cold Case Christianity, Wallace lists the three types of motives that lie at the heart of any misbehavior: financial greed, sexual or relational desire, or the pursuit of power. So is there good reason to suspect that Jesus was to lie by any of these motives? Jesus is never described as someone who is motivated by financial wealth, is he? Matter of fact, he teaches his disciples to give their possessions to the poor and store up their treasures in heaven. He told the rich young man in Matthew 19 to sell his possessions and follow him. Jesus gained nothing by his teaching or healing ministry. Secondly, there's no evidence that Jesus was motivated by lust or relationships. Many women followed Jesus, but he only showed them the highest respect, even in ways that were countercultural for that day and time. And thirdly, it would be unreasonable to make the claim that Jesus lied about his identity to gain power. Rather, he modeled serving others. John 15, verse 12 says, Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That doesn't sound power hungry to me. Jesus taught his disciples that the greatest in God's kingdom is the one who serves. So based on what we know of Jesus through Scripture, Jesus was not motivated to lie about his identity for really any reason. If Jesus was not a liar, that brings us to option two. Maybe Jesus is a lunatic. So if Jesus is a real historical figure and claimed to be the Son of God, maybe he was just crazy, right? Have you ever run across someone who claimed to be Jesus or claimed to be God? Like literally every once in a while, I'll meet someone who thinks that they are God or Jesus come back again. And honestly, I assume that person has mental health issues. Right? I'm not making a joke. I'm just saying when we hear somebody say things like that, we think, wow, they must be a little crazy. What if Jesus really believed he was the Son of God, but he was delusional? Well, McDowell says the idea that Jesus was a self-deceived or delusional in this regard is simply not compatible with the impression he has left on history. Listen to what Napoleon, not dynamite, but Bonaparte, said about Jesus. It says, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not a man, implying that he was God. So no lunatic would have been the source of such perceptive and effective insight. Dallas Willard said, actions do not emerge from nothing. They faithfully reveal what is in the heart. Jesus just doesn't act crazy. The things he says are profound, are life-giving, not self-promoting. From his actions, from the things that he says, they reveal his heart. He's humble, intelligent, caring. He's a teacher and a friend. It doesn't make sense that he could also be a lunatic and deceive so many people. And if Jesus claims to be God and he is not a liar or a lunatic, then there's only one final option in this trilemma. Then Jesus is Lord. Jesus is who he says he is. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus' popularity is through the roof. as he talks with his friends and disciples, he asks them what people are saying about him. Sort of a side note, this seems like such a natural conversation that would happen, right? Here's this group of sort of ragamuffin group that's been traveling around. Jesus is healing people. He is working with people. He's raised people from the dead, and more people are coming to see him. He's fed multitudes of people miraculously. He's turned water into wine, and his popularity is through the roof. And offside, right, off by themselves, Jesus says, "What do you think everybody's saying?" It seems like the most natural conversation to me. What are people saying about me? In verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter, the one who always steps forward, steps up, speaks up, says these beautiful words, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." We call Peter's statement the Great Confession. A lot of times when someone comes to Christ, we have them say that great confession. "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And notice here, Jesus says, "This wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood." When you come to the point of considering, is Jesus really Lord? Is he really who he said he was? You may not get all the way there by historical accounts. You may not get all the way there by even by eyewitness accounts. Maybe not even from reading the Bible. You may get there because God is moving you in that direction. Because there's the Holy Spirit, right, involved also in faith. And faith is taking a step where you don't know where it's going to land, but you have enough, right, idea, and you have enough trust. You've thought about it. You've considered what everybody says, but you're also willing to step out in faith and trust, and God will reveal that to you. While skeptics in both the first century and today have questions about who Jesus was, Peter's statement of faith speaks clearly. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Other self-proclaimed gods and saviors have come and gone, but Jesus, standing head and shoulders above them all, is still here. And if Jesus were not Lord, then he'd have to be a liar or a lunatic. But he is truthful, therefore not a liar. And he is sane, therefore not a lunatic. N.T. Wright, a theologian, says, "I have taken it for granted that Jesus of Nazareth existed." Some writers feel the need to justify this assumption at length against people who will try from time to time to deny it. But it would be easier, frankly, to believe that Tiberius Caesar, Jesus' contemporary, was a figment of the imagination and to believe that there never was a person named Jesus. So most Bible scholars, most regular folks like us, believe that Jesus existed. That he was a true historical figure. And if he does exist, then we have to make a decision. Is he who he claims to be? And if he claimed to be the Son of God, then he's either lying, he's crazy, or he is who he says he is, and he is God. Let me just make my public statement. I believe he's my Lord. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Does anybody else here go to the dermatologist? Okay, the older part of the crowd over here, hands up. Not one person over here raised their hand. It's kind of younger folks over here. It's coming for y'all. It's coming for y'all. Apparently, having lived 50-plus years in my life without this knowledge, I just found out the sun is bad. The sun is a terrible thing for you. I spent my whole life outside, you know, no sunscreen, shirt off. I mean, playing everywhere. You know, I can remember playing basketball all summer long, shirts against skins. You know, like, it just didn't matter. We were always outside. We're at the beach. We're in the water. No one ever told me until I had a spot, literally had a spot right here between my eyes, And actually, it was Jerry Brill said, who's not a dermatologist. He's a golf pro, but he dabbles in dermatology, apparently. He said to me, hey, you might want to go get that looked at. So I did, and I had a little spot of cancer. He told me it was the good kind. I didn't know there was such a kind. But now, at least once a year, sometimes more, I go to the dermatologist. And you know what? They love me at the dermatology office. First, it's like a treasure hunt. Like, I got so many moles and stuff all over. Like, this just, they have the most fun looking at all this stuff. I know they're going to find something. Every time they scrape or burn or do something to me, they do it. And secondly, I believe these demented dermatologists really enjoy cutting stuff off of people. That's what I believe. I just believe that that's like the best thing. Matter of fact, I had kind of a weird little mole. I inherited the sort of moley person. My dad and my uncle, my dad's side of the family was kind of that way. And I had this sort of a weird mole. He kept telling me there's nothing wrong with it, but it just bothered me. It was back here, and I would touch it, and it was kind of squishy. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Too much information. Anyway, it wasn't in a weird spot. It was on the back of my neck. And at one time, I said, can you do something with that? I know I don't need to or have to. And the dermatologist, he kind of lit up. He was like so excited. He's like, he literally said these words to me, that's the easiest thing I'll do all day, right? And he got rid of that thing. Honestly, it's not a lot of fun for me, if you've been there, right? I don't necessarily want to sit there sort of exposed, so to speak, and let somebody go over my skin and cut and scrape and do all this. But I need my skin to be inspected to find out the truth. Same is true in our lives. What do you believe? Specifically today, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the resurrection? What do you believe about the Bible or creation? You just believe what your parents told you to believe? There's nothing wrong with that. But have you investigated? If you're new to church, I love that you're here. Maybe it's fine if you're here because the music's good, because it really is. And the coffee's free, which it really is. And the people are nice, which they really are. We're really glad you're here. But at some point, you got to ask yourself the question, can I believe this? Are these claims fact or fake? And I hope this series, and even more so, I hope this place gives you the space to dig a little deeper and answer some of these tough questions. And I hope that you discover what I believe is true, that the Bible is true. And God created us and he loves us. And he sent his son Jesus for us. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this series that we've been in the last few weeks. Lord, it's been such a joy and pleasure to just have so many good conversations and get everybody thinking a little bit about what we believe and really challenge ourselves to have an answer and to think through some of the things that we believe. Lord, we certainly understand that at some point we have to step out in faith. But Lord, it's not blind faith. There are a lot of reasons for us to believe. And I just pray, Lord, that maybe this has touched somebody in the last few weeks or even today. Because there is no other name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved outside of the name of Jesus. So I just pray, Lord, that you would reveal that to each one of us by your Spirit, through faith, that we would grow closer and closer to you. That we might have a firm foundation to stand on in a world of shifting sand. And God, I thank you for just the grace that I've been given this last few weeks to teach on these subjects and the questions. Lord, I'm thankful for all of that. Lord, help us to learn and grow and be all that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.